Brad, thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Amen.
We appreciate it. Well, I entitled this, Talking with the Holy Spirit, Talking with God the Holy Spirit. And I use a personal story, I guess, to kind of introduce us to the problem and I perceive. But anyway, in 1940s, in Kearney, Nebraska, we would play marbles and play on the school ground. And an older boy came over from junior high, really, but anyway, played with us and wanted to play keepers. And I don't know whether you've ever played marbles or not, but anyway, the idea was that if you knocked the other guy's marble out, you got to keep it. That meant if you weren't really pretty good at it, why, you could lose all of your marbles. And, of course, I had tried that once. Didn't have very good success, so there was this, whatever, don't do it. Don't play with this guy that's going to play for keepers. He's bigger, and just don't play the marble game with him. But, you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking you could win some of your marbles back. And anyway, kept getting this, don't do it. Well, I did, and I lost all the marbles except my shooter. And in those days, I don't think we were particularly poor family. Everybody was poor. Everybody had the same thing. I mean, marbles cost 5 cents for 10 or something like that. I don't know. But 5 cents was 5 cents. And people really watched every nickel they spent. And so buying extra marbles was not in the game. That wasn't something I was going to be able to do. But this person, whoever it is, whatever it is, keeps telling me, don't do it. And I did it anyway. So, I lost all of them. And I don't really think that I ever really played marbles again. Even once I got a whole bunch of them, I don't think I ever played marbles. Who was this that was telling me this? Who was telling me not to play keepers with this guy? Who's telling me, don't do it. Was it my conscience? Was it intuition? Was it wisdom? Who was it that was telling me this?
Guardian angel.
Well, gee, you're going right to where, the very end. You're getting there before I'll ever get there. Where is it in the Bible that says don't play keepers? Well, the Bible does give advice and tell us how to treat others. The Ten Commandments, don't kill, don't steal. I did not steal this year. But it's just don't do that. Well, you see, morally, I think most of us have the idea, and because you all are really, the main people in this church, the ones that do a lot of the work, and so You all don't have any trouble. We don't have any trouble with what the Bible says, don't steal. We can follow that pretty well. We have kind of an innate sense of morality anyway, and in what the Bible tells us in the Ten Commandments, that's pretty fair for most of us to follow along with that. But the Bible also tells us some other things to do. Tell the truth. Exodus 20:16, love your neighbor. Leviticus 19:18, don't take your neighbor to court. Proverbs 25:8, pray for those who persecute you. That's pretty hard to do, those people that persecute you. That's pretty hard to do. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Luke 6:27, don't be a stumbling block to others. Romans 14:13-5. But it does not say, don't play marbles for keeps. We maybe could use some of those verses. You could turn to Exodus 20:17, which says, do not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Because, you know, in the back of my mind, I might have been thinking, well, I could get my marbles back from him. And in truth and fact, I think it was that guy that took those marbles from me in the first place. So I'm going to read now from Nahum, verses 1 through 8. Nahum, verses 1. Huh?
I said it's after Micah.
Yes. It's only three chapters, and I'm only going to read the first eight verses of the first chapter just a little bit to set the stage and then to give you what the prophet Nahum's saying to the people of Nineveh. And you'll recognize, you see, we're back in Nineveh. This is about 100-plus years after Jonah, and Nahum is coming to Nineveh, and this is what he has to say in verse 1 through 8 of chapter 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Eshcolite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not acquit the wicked. And the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and he make it dry. He drieth up all rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, the hills melt, the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein, who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like the fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and knoweth them that trust him. But with an overturning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and the darkness shall pursue his enemies. Now please note that those that trust him, he's a stronghold for them, those that trust him. This is Old Testament biblical prophet telling us this. He's gone back to Nineveh when Jonah was there. Jonah talked to those people, and he said, revival, 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 revival. And they had a revival. They turned back to God. 100-plus years prior to Nahum coming, but now Nahum is there, and he's not saying that. He's saying God's going to deal with you. God's going to deal with you. And I think if we look at our history in this country and in this world, we will understand that we've had revivals. We've had the revivals in this country. We've had them. And recently we've gone through it where the colleges and the universities were saying revival, revival. And Ruth, and on many occasions, prays for a revival, has prayed for a revival in this country. And we in this church have prayed for a revival because we would like to see us turn back to God. God is really, really patient. And we are far past in this country probably some sort of punishment from God. And maybe it's coming in what's going on right now in this world. Nineveh changed and turned back to being angry with or angry at God, and God being angry with them. We just celebrated here in the last few days, the anniversary of what we celebrate for the birth of Christ, who God sent to save us from our sins. We just celebrated that Christ's birthday. And Jesus came obedient to his Father to die on the cross and to save us of our sins. All we had to do was just believe. Believe Jesus was born according to the plan by a virgin, Mary, was persecuted, persecuted by some that he came to save, was crucified by some that he came to save, was buried and dead and in the tomb, and he was in the tomb for 3 days. He was resurrected on the third day and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. That's what we celebrated. Well, you see, if you really look at that, God the Father's involved in that because he sent the Son, and he chose the people he wanted God the Son to come and save, and he sent the Son, and the Son comes, and the Son comes to save those of us that are sinners, all of us that are sinners, not just those that are believed, but he came to save those that didn't believe. They didn't believe, but he came to save those too. Christ then tells us to obey his commandments as he is in Matthew 28, tells us to obey his commandments. But where does it say, don't play keepers? Where does it say that? Where do we get that? Is it my conscience? Is it wisdom? So birth, the death, the life of Christ, all that, the church and the people in this country have kind of undertaken to do that, so that we really emphasize prayer in this church. We emphasize in the people in this country, emphasize prayer. Pretty much if they're going to church at all, they emphasize prayer. But the Holy Spirit, he's kind of the third man, the odd man out. And if you really look at what's going on in the churches, they don't say much about him in the churches. I mean, they don't say, Michael tell us they don't even get the salvation right. Don't even get the story about that right, let alone go to Holy Spirit and what his duties and opportunities are. He's the kind of the odd man out. And if you ever get into business relationships or partnerships in the world and you have a partnership of three people, you can just almost guarantee that there's an odd man out. Two people will control that, and one man gets kind of what's left over. And you do that in the families. The families do that too. If you get two or three people in the family all together, I'm just sure as shooting there's one that's kind of the black sheep. That's kind of me. You see, I was the only one with red hair, but that wasn't the real reason I was a black sheep. I couldn't add two and two, and they were all engineers and computer whizzes. So there's always somebody that's kind of the odd man out, and the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit's kind of gotten that reputation. We don't think of him much because we don't really think of him in the Christian service for celebrating Christ's birthday. But he's involved, and he was involved in creation. Verse 2 of chapter 1, Exodus. He was involved, related to its beauty, the creation of the country. Job 26:13 says, where the Holy Spirit causes the sky to become fair. And you know, it wasn't too long ago we had that picture of the sky, and see, that sky is God's, that's Holy Spirit's activity. It's part of that. He created the beauty part of, it's what the Bible says. The Bible says he created that. And he was there to do the fair part of that sky. Holy Spirit is co-equal God with the Father and God the Son. Matthew 28:19. He raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 8:11. But despite this, believers tend to put him aside, kind of make him the odd man, the third man left out. This is true even of believers sometimes. We kind of tend to, it's just, he's the last one that's mentioned. And yet John 14:17 says he lives within you and will be in you. Not only that, but he baptizes the Spirit in you. See John 3:24. You all know this because you all have studied under Mike and in this church. He sanctifies, 1 Peter 1 and 2. But also, most important, in our daily activities, the Holy Spirit is a person. He talks. He communicates with us. He testifies. That's John 15:26. He speaks as a person. That's John 16:17. He was revealing, 16:15 of John. He fills the believers with the Spirit. Acts 4:8 and 6:3. And more. Believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. But we still haven't answered the question, who is it that tells us not to play marbles for keeps? Who does that? Who tells us not to change jobs or to change jobs and what job to take? Who tells us to go to school, but who tells us to choose between law school and theology school? Who tells us to live in the city? Who tells us to live in the country? Who tells us to move to Mineola? Who tells us to raise rabbits or to raise chickens? Who tells us to buy a car? Who tells us, oh, Terry Posey, I'm sorry. Who tells us to marry? And who does he tell us to marry? Well, the Bible does say to marry one of your own kind, but who tells us to marry which one of your own kind? Who tells us which church to go to?
So did Glenn make the wrong decision?
Well, given me the shirt, you mean? I don't know. I sure like the shirt. How many of these things do we do on our own? You know, when my recollection is, and my recollection of counseling people in the office that came to me with regard to their problems in their marriage. My recollection is that, you see, once they thought they had fallen in love, I don't care, you know, my office was about six stories up in a downtown Dallas building, but if you looked out and if you looked on a windy day, you could see the dust blowing. But if you looked out on a calm day, it looked clean. Didn't look like it was dusty and dirty. And if you were on the 25th floor of the Republic Tower or in the 45th floor of First National Bank and you looked out, everything looks clean from up there. There's no dirt. There's no dust. And this is kind of the way those people looked at their fiance. There was nothing wrong. They were perfect. There was nothing wrong. And there was no telling them. There was no telling them. They made up their mind. That was the one. That was the one. Didn't really check it out. Didn't really take advice because they had made up their mind. But who should have been telling them? Who should they have been talking to? Who should they have been talking to? Their God? Should they have been talking to their God? Should they have been talking to the Holy Spirit? Had they been talking to the Holy Spirit, would the situation have been different? That's one of the blessings of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit fills us with that Spirit. And if we turn to Him, He will give us guidance and understanding. And the evidence of that, you see, is David in 1 Samuel 23. David was fleeing from the king, Saul. And at part of the process, he was asking God, do I attack the Philistines? Do I attack the Philistines? Do I attack? Why in the world he wanted to attack the Philistines? Maybe I don't understand that, but he was asking God because, you see, God, the Holy Spirit was part of this triune God. This is the Holy Spirit that you ask, and He's got extra information and more knowledge about what the Philistines are doing than we can get from our own surveillance. And if you look at what's going on in our government right now, you can see that the government intelligence that they pass on to us is mostly not true. So if what David knew was what the kind of intelligence we get in this country, it's not true. So by going to the Holy Spirit, he gets an answer from the Holy Spirit, and God, the Holy Spirit, God, then tells him to go ahead and attack. And he knows, you see, by doing that, he has been doing what God wills in that question. And coupled with that decision of following God's will is the umbrella of God follows, God's umbrella, God's support. Because you see, if I ask God, do I go right or left, and He says right, and I go left, do you think God's going to go left with me with His umbrella of protection as though He would if I were following His decision? So maybe I need to be talking to this God, the Holy Spirit, about the decisions I make. He knew also, you see, that when he asked about whether he ought to stay in the city or leave, he asked God, will the people in the city turn me over to Saul? And God told him, yeah, they sure will. They sure will. And so he left. So God helped protect him. And then he knows, you see, the umbrella of God is protection is going to follow him because he's obeying God. He's doing what God tells him to do. So, if we choose to play keepers, when he says don't, when he's been telling me don't do it, don't do it, then his provision does not follow. And I lost the marbles. I can't blame him. I did the choice, you see. Same thing with our acceptance of Christ. I can't blame him. I didn't choose everlasting life if I don't. My choice, I made the choice. So if you marry when God says no, the umbrella, his protection umbrella, you know, you can just say to yourself, you know, if you ask somebody to do something and they do the exact opposite, do you think you're going to support? And God kind of feels the same way. I think he's thinking about over here at the left, if he told you to go left and you go right. I think he has already made the plans to go that way. So, see what the people in our country are doing now, and we watch it. They've got boats and motors and trailers and all sorts of things in their yard, and the season of Christmas comes, and they're going all over celebrating. But what if God's telling them to go on a mission trip instead of vacation? Pat chose to help the needy. What a blessing that she is to us, just that she represents. She represents what we believe. She has actually undertaken to do that. We've all become, because we're educated, you know, we go to school and we learn how to do it. And so when somebody asks us to help them, we think we know how to do it. It's amazing how we've traveled as far as we have in this country without the total wrath of God. Our walk with God anticipates our walk, and God's Bible tells us to walk in his way. Our walk with God anticipates. The Holy Spirit is walking along with us. God says he's in us. In every decision, all we need to do is ask, do we play keepers? Do we play keepers? Follow his lead in every situation. Seek his advice, because the Holy Spirit has superior knowledge, has knowledge of things that we may not know, has superior understanding of the people that we're dealing with. And in our legal system in this country, what we do is we have in courts what we call depositions, and we're taking depositions in the federal government right now to find out what went on in the minds of these people and what they did to get where they're going or to what they're doing, to steal the money, to use the money, whatever it was going on. We got to take these depositions. We ask these questions because, frankly, we as the general people don't know the answers. And so if we turn to God and see what he advises us to do, because he has that superior knowledge, follow his leading like David did in everything, we seek his advice. Seek his advice in everything that we do. Seek his advice. Advice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit. What an interesting, interesting set of circumstances that you've created. The situation with God, you as the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. What interesting thing. And Father, we pray that we not turn aside and forget about the Holy Spirit and what He does and what He is there to do for us, that we are able to talk with Him, walk with Him in God's path, and we can seek His wisdom, His guidance in everything that we do. Even though the Bible doesn't tell us, we can turn to God at every situation and ask and seek His wisdom and guidance. And I know, Father, that there are many people that say, oh, you're just saying that. God really doesn't do that. But people know that when God has blessed them, people know, they understand that God has blessed them, particularly those that have committed to Christ, followed the commandment of Christ, and committed to follow God in all the days of their lives. Those people who have committed to do that know when it's the God of God, God of all gods, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we know, those of us that have believed, know when He has given us good advice. And we pray, Father, that we remember to turn to Him in every decision. Seek His advice in every decision, even if it's just a simple thing of playing keepers. Pray these things in Christ's name, Father, and pray this day that Your will be done in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.